All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast. Happy 2023.
Hooray.
I
thought you were going to keep going. I was going to let you cook.
This is the Comic Book Club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, and you're Nathan. We're brothers, and we read comics.
Yep, every single year for until we die.
Yeah.
Including this year, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Got a banger this episode. Like good, nuanced award shows, we wait until the year's over before we give the awards out,
just in case.
Yeah, I've seen it like as early as like December 15th, like, oh, here's all the best things of like this year, best comics, whatever, and I'm like, there's still 2 whole weeks of comics left.
I know.
And so that's why we're doing it now and not last week, not because I was unprepared.
Yeah, that makes it seem like November's the end.
Yeah, exactly. But because I knew that we had to wait until this week. So
Want to do it after the news?
We can do it after the news. Let's do it.
Alrighty.
What do I have? Oh, news time.
News Boom. Time. Nathan, the new book from Jeff Lemire and Gabriel Walta.
Yeah.
Called Phantom Road.
I saw that and I was like,
with Jordy Belair coming from Image. It's a horror book coming in March.
I love me some Malta, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw him do stuff. I think it was probably Barbalian. But that was like, it felt like a long time ago. So I don't know what he's been up to, but I love that he's with Jeff Lemire.
Okay. He's not the one on Silver Coin, right?
No, that's Gabriel Walsh. Sorry, Michael Walsh.
Mike Walsh, okay.
Gabriel Walta.
Right. Okay, yeah, so it's been a minute for us.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. Banger creative team. And it looks great.
Yeah, did you know that Janna and the Impossible Monsters ended at issue 12?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I was like,
that makes sense.
I remember it came out and I got it. And then I was just looking into it and that was the last issue. So, like, oh.
I know. I was like six in. I just was like falling behind on it. And so I think I stopped picking it up at like 9.
You can catch up in like an hour.
I know, I could. But it didn't make any sense to me because I was like, how does he keep pumping these out on top of other things?
Yeah.
And so I guess he just got a major head start in the year 2020. So
yeah, focus on other things, I guess.
Pretty cool. Daniel, Green Lantern was canceled at HBO Max and then it wasn't because that was fake.
When did that happen?
That was like a couple days ago, and then James Gunn like, nope, it's still going on. So that's pretty good. Good news.
Oh, good. We love James Gunn.
We love Green Lantern. Yeah, I don't know yet. It's too early to tell.
We'll see. So far, it's pretty good.
Marvel announces Planet of the Apes series coming in 2023.
Do they have Planet of the Apes?
I don't know what they have anymore. It seems like all those like older like sci-fi movie properties kind of just go on like a recurring, like, you know.
Because they were with like, is that a Fox property? Is that how they acquired that?
No, I don't know.
Because
like,
it used to be like IDW or like,
that's what yeah.
Or so, Dark Horse or something.
I think they just come up with contracts with those companies for like, okay, you get the property rights for like a couple years. And then after that, we'll reevaluate. And then Marvel has been wanting to do that stuff lately. But it's going to be written by David Walker with art by Dave Wachter. So similar sounding people, but they are, I think,
Dave, throw us off.
I think Dave Walker is just David Walker with a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's actually the same person.
Yeah, I'm not the same person.
Yeah. No, this is Dave Walker. So pretty cool.
When are we going to read the Planet of the Apes and Green Lantern comic?
It's actually supposed to be really good. I think Mark Russell wrote it, actually.
Justin Jordan?
Oh, okay. He's done things. He was on Daredevil, I think.
Oh yeah, him. 100th birthday for Stan Lee. That's cool and all.
He's an old man.
Sure is.
It's crazy that he's 100 years old. I don't know.
How old is he when he died?
I want to say like 96.
That was like 2018?
Yeah. So yeah, probably like 96.
Damn. So close.
Almost made it.
Yeah. You know.
But obviously the GOAT. I don't have much other news because I wasn't keeping my finger on the pulse of things this week. So
Same.
That's everything I have.
So let's get into the Trade Raiders Awards, Nathan.
All right.
2022.
Daniel, we're an official awards show. We're a comic book podcast and we like to give awards because we like to celebrate things that have come out.
Yep.
And we're doing that this year. We have a couple categories.
The second annual Trade Raiders Awards.
Second annual official Trade Raiders Awards. Anybody that wins, I've come up with the offer that if they directly DM us, I will print them a trophy and send it to them for free.
You can also tweet at us.
Or tweet at us.
At Trade Raiders Pod.
Yeah. So feel free to do that if you're listening, any one of our winners. So let's go over the categories again. We were discussing a little bit last week, but...
Yeah, we have Best New Marvel Series.
Question. I feel like if it's continuing, but still kind of banger, I feel like we should still be able to...
What do you mean?
Like, if it's a continuing book from, like, the year before, or, like, maybe it started, like, late, you know, October 2021. I feel like
we got to narrow it down to just stuff that came out this year, like, started this year.
All right. Well, I've written stuff down as a pretty good book still that you should read. Also, read all of these, because that's why we're excited about it. But anyway, Best New Marvel Series. What else?
We got Best New DC Series, Best New Indie Book, Best Trade We've Reviewed, Best Nacho Series, Best Writer, Best Penciler, Best Inker, Best Colorist, and we have a new category this year for Best Prestige Book.
Oh, I forgot to write shit down for that one. First category, Best New Marvel Series. I've written down a few things you can add on to it. I've thought about this a lot in the hour that I've put into this.
Let's hear it.
Strange. I think it's called Doctor Strange by Trad Moore. Issue 2 came out today. It's a little early to tell. I don't know. Punisher by Jason Aaron, Jesus Saiz, and Paul Zaceta. And I think Dave Stewart. Ant-Man by Al Ewing and Tom Riley. Daredevil by Chip Zdarsky, friend of the pod. And Marco Cicchetto. And that's all I had for that.
I think the only thing that me and you have both read is Ant-Man.
And it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Punisher's also pretty good. You know, it's got a lot of things going on there.
I haven't read it. You've explained it to me. Seems
all
right.
I haven't read all of Ant-Man, though. We're really bad at this.
Neither have I.
I think like Strange.
Strange is good.
Doctor Strange, yeah. Trying more, you know. A little early to tell with that one as well. So what do you want to do for this one? I think Punisher's great. I'm 9 issues in. So.
Do you just want to decide the winner by default?
I don't know. Do we
since you've technically read more Marvel than I have?
I think, more excited by Ant-Man than Punisher, but I do think Punisher has stayed interesting for obviously a longer time because it's 9 issues so far. But I would say let's give it to Ant-Man because I've read, you know, some issues that it's doing really interesting stuff. I love Tom Riley's art, Al Ewing. I wouldn't normally care about Ant-Man, but this was something that really, I think, stuck out for the year because I think Punisher is a little bit status quo. I wouldn't say that actually, because it's got two really banger artists and it's balances like a lot on there that you wouldn't see in a normal book. But I think Ant-Man still felt different and still really cool at the same time.
Yeah, because Ant-Man had the things like going through time, meeting up with the other Ant-Men.
Yeah.
Ant-Man we haven't seen in years.
Yeah, you know? It's a celebration of like all of the Ant-Men. Character. And I normally wouldn't really care that much about it, but somehow they figured it out.
And the first issue felt like it was a reprint of something from like the 70s.
Yeah, which is really cool. Really impressive. Done it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get to Ant-Man by Al Ewing and Tom Riley.
Sounds good.
Best New DC Series. We got World's Finest by Mark Waid and Dan Mora. Honorable mention, Human Target. It didn't start this year, but still really good. I would have picked that if we were doing not new series.
Pretty sure we picked it last year.
And just see, I would have picked it again, Daniel. I can go for a long time.
Relax.
Batman by Chip Zdarsky and Jorge Jimenez. Technically, Batman didn't start last year, but this run of Batman did start, so I think we should count it.
I'll let it pass.
Aquaman Andromeda by Ram V. Christian Ward.
Let's just leave all the prestige stuff for the prestige.
Still good. honorable, what is it?
Honorable mention.
Jurassic League by Daniel Warren Johnson and Juan Gedeon. And then Batman One Dark Night by Jock, which I guess is also prestige, so we'll push that one as well. Do you have any other ones in there?
No.
Okay. Let's say what we think it is on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. World's finest. Yeah, 100%. It's so fucking good.
It's so just bright and it's so exciting. It's so like fresh because this is like new. Dan Moore is like new for me when I was reading it.
Yeah.
Good to see Mark Waid still got it. You know what I mean?
Pause. You did read Dan Mora on Klaus when we read that. That was
him. I didn't know I was reading him.
Okay. That's fair. But yeah, Dan Mora does feel fucking perfect.
This is the book where I'm like, who the fuck draws this?
I know, right? I mean? I love when I feel that. I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at right now?
We get
now
a cameo from Doom Patrol.
Yeah, it's really
other people.
It's always fun to see characters that I love, and then characters that I like love because they're not, they don't have enough love given to them all the time.
Yeah.
Batman and Superman have 40 series that came out this year.
Yeah.
Not Doom Patrol. So it's cool to see, you know, those characters interact and it like makes sense too. So it was just a very fun story. Felt fresh, even though it wasn't like anything that like changed the medium or anything like that. It just like felt nice. So I think it should go to that one.
I agree.
Who colors that one?
Tamara Bonvalon.
That's right. Yep. Okay. Okay. And then best new independent comic that came out. I have written a few. Clementine from Image by Tilly Walden. 8 Billion Genies from Image by Charles Soule and Ryan Brown. Step by Bloody Step from Image by Cy Spurrier, Matheus Lopez on like lines, and Matthias Bergera on colors. Public Domain, even though I don't know if this really counts, because it was in a Substack first before, but it was in print officially. I think it counts. Should be in there. What's the Furthest Place From Here by Matt Rosenberg, Tyler Boss. Everyday Hero Machine Boy. I just like it. I think you should go read it. It's not going to win, but I think you should read it. It's sure. good. And then Do a Power Bomb by Daniel Warren Johnson.
Yeah, a lot of contenders.
Yeah. All of these are from Image, I think, technically. So they had a pretty good year. I was trying to think of like what's come out from like Boom and like Aftershock, but I didn't really read much from them. People like Grimm, which is a series that has come out recently. I just haven't picked it up.
Yeah, so. I've seen it. It looks good.
In my heart, Step by Bloody Step wins this by about a mile.
Really?
I think so. There's a lot in here that I really, really enjoy. A couple surprises even. Like, I didn't expect to like a wrestling comic called Do a Power Bomb, but it's fucking awesome.
Aiden, this is a team award show. We're co-hosts.
No.
So therefore, it's got to go to...
I guess 8 Billion Genies. Yeah. So that's the only one that you've read because you don't care about comics. Did you read Clementine?
I have it.
You have it and you haven't read it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very good.
It's really close. It like stares at me every day.
It's so nice. I'm glad that there's more that's being made.
I read the Machine Boy one that you gave me, you know? So I've tried. Don't give me...
you know,
I've read
fair.
All the stuff that we've read this year,
that's
you know?
That's fair.
And they just happen to not be from this year.
Public Domain is great.
Big fan of that.
Feels like a fresh story. I guess 8 Billion Genies does too. I think what's really good about this... about 8 Billion Genies in particular is that this could have been a Nacho series so easily.
Yeah.
You know? It's a really fun concept and you're like, oh man, I want to order this, but it stayed good like this whole time. I think it's on issue 6 now is the most recent one. And I'm still interested. I'm still engaged. I still want to know what's going to happen. So,
yeah.
That's really tough to do, especially something that's like over like 4 issues.
So. I think as far as recent, like new books from Image, 8 Billion Genies is just way up there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and I think it's just a great concept as well.
Yeah. Visually very fun because there's all sorts of like gags and stuff in the background, which is like one of my favorite things in a comic.
Yeah.
So Ryan Brown does a really good job with that. I think Step by Bloody Step also really good because it feels like it accomplished something. I don't know. Like it's just a silent comic, but it feels like a little bit more.
You know, because it's silent, it loses points.
I disagree. I think it's good to show
in an award show.
I think it's good to show instead of tell, you know?
Okay.
So anyway, 8 Billion Genies, it's a banger.
Congrats. Pick
it up. Yep.
Best trade we reviewed.
We got a few on here. I've just written down a few that I enjoyed just for many different reasons. One Star Squadron. I really liked that one last week. Kiss Zombies.
Banger.
Banger. My Friend Dahmer, because it was very interesting and different from what we read before.
Mm-hmm.
Saga. It's Saga, let's be honest. But yeah. Superman for All Seasons. Feels really nice. Makes me feel warm inside.
Yeah.
Thor, God of Thunder, because it's kick-ass. Also, kick-ass.
True.
Yeah. Other things that you've written down, or did I hit all of them?
You got the real good ones.
Yeah, so... it's Saga, but if we had like a second place award, because Saga's great. Like, it's just, you're stupid if you're not reading it.
Think about it. We're probably never going to nominate Saga for anything ever again, based off of our categories, you know, because it's not new and we just happen to have like reviewed it this year.
Yeah.
And Saga is Saga.
That's fair. Okay. All right. Saga wins.
All righty.
But congrats. If I were to award a second place, Daniel.
What's your runner-up?
I would probably say Superman for All Seasons.
Yeah, you did like that a lot. I think for me, I need something like that to be a little bit longer, I guess.
That's
and
fair.
Just like a little bit more villain arc, I guess. You know, sure. It was very like just based on Superman and him growing up and things like that. And all the artwork being like, and the inspiration you can see and just how specific like Tim Sale's artwork is. I get why you liked it so much. I don't think I liked it quite as much.
Okay.
But I do appreciate like what it is as like just art, you know?
Yeah. And I think all the ones that I put on there, I liked for drastically different reasons, you know?
Sure.
Like One Star Squadron's just like a fun comedy book. Like no real like villain necessarily.
No fighting. Is,
but like no fighting. There's barely like any action. Kiss the Zombies, I just didn't expect to like it as much as I did. I had fun talking about it because it's dumb.
Probably the funnest book we've read. It
probably is, just because it's so stupid and I liked making fun of it.
Yeah.
But it's like also pretty good. It shouldn't, no reason it should be that good.
Right.
My friend Dahmer is like non-fictional, but
yeah,
still very engaging and crazy and dark. So I liked that.
Sure.
Thor God of Thunder is just awesome.
Yeah.
It's just awesome on all accounts. I'd probably put that as like the third, I don't know. Mm. And then Kick-Ass, obviously, love it.
We got the best nacho series, Nathan.
Daniel, let me explain what the nacho series is.
Please,
for those
I
that
forgot.
May not know. It's a term that I've coined myself. And basically what it means is it's a comic book series that starts out super awesome. And you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to be on this journey and consume this comic book in its entirety. And then as it goes, all of the exciting stuff was clearly just all focused in the beginning, and then it kind of just dies out for you and like after the next couple issues and stuff, and then you eventually drop it.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened to me a couple times. I think last year was Moon Knight is what we said, because I just was so excited. First issue is pretty good, and then everything else I was like, I don't know, I'm over it. So our nominees, the naughty list, and that's it. I feel like I really searched deep in myself to try and find one, but I haven't read anything super long enough to be like, I just don't like this anymore, you know?
Nothing has felt like that, and I almost like kind of look for those kind of books. Like,
I do too,
because I'll read something I'm interested in, and then they're all interesting enough for me to keep going.
Yeah,
you know, even though I'm not like caught up on absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
That book is the only thing where I was interested. The first issue, I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah,
you know, and then it just falls on its face.
And this one's.
And it doesn't even end.
It doesn't end. So this one's an interesting nacho series
even
because of that.
Aftershock thought it was a nacho series.
This is an order of nachos where you saw it on the menu and like everything's there. It's got all your ingredients that you like. The picture looks nice. When I say the picture, I mean the Francesco Francavilla covers.
Yeah.
But like on the menu, the picture of the nachos look good. And you're like, oh, fuck, I need those. And it's got everything I like. It's going to be great.
This metaphor works too well.
I know. It does. It doesn't. It's crazy. And so they bring you the nachos and you're like, okay, let's get into this. And then immediately, for me, I was like, you know what? These ingredients aren't as good as I thought. And then it, you know, it diminishes in return. But
these are like shitty dive bar nachos.
Exactly. But what happens in this case is that the waiter just takes it away from you halfway through because
he's like, oh, you're done with closing. Yeah,
because in this nacho series, there's no ending. It's just like the ending of this book, and maybe there's more planned, but there's no official like, you know, announcement of more naughty list.
As of right now, no ending.
Yeah. As of right now, the ending was Santa Claus's right-hand man got killed by the man that stole the naughty list, and that's it.
Nathan, like, I can guarantee you that whatever ending there was planned, it would not have made the whole work
it would have been a bigger nacho plate.
And what makes it even worse is that I think they might have even planned to make like another four issues for like another trade. Or maybe five was planned because four felt really close to the end.
Maybe.
But it was just cut off. I like, feel all right, like, we'll just trade it.
I feel like in total it would be eight, but maybe they're waiting to publish it until like closer to Christmas time this year, 2023. So maybe. But yeah, this is definitely the winner.
Because like, think about it. The trade came out in September, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the issues had to come out sometime before that. So what, the number one comes out in like June or something?
Like the trade came out in September?
Yeah.
No, it's weird.
Which is so it's like good timing for the holiday for the trade. But I think you need
I don't
like
think so. That's like before I'm thinking about like
well,
Christmas.
Well, like I saw it and we read it and I bought it.
You know what? Touche. I did also buy it.
So hopefully, you know, issues, it comes back and issues come out maybe after the bankruptcy.
You know what? Issue 5 comes out. I'm reading it. I gotta know now.
We just gotta make a pact right now.
if by all obstacles, this book somehow manages to come out with issue 5, which you're right. Like Aftershock is like, in bankruptcy. It's like stage 11 or whatever, like chapter cancer. 11. Chapter 11, whatever.
Stage 11 cancer. It's not a stage.
I don't know.
It's just the type of bankruptcy you file for.
Okay, yes. But if it manages to come out, we have to read it now.
I big, feel like, weak, or small, we're getting it.
Yeah. I could be paying for $50 worth of comics. I don't care. I'm buying the naughty list.
Oh, man.
Especially anyway. If it's got that Francesco Francavilla cover.
Ooh, that would really rope me in, wouldn't it?
I know. All right.
So
that's fun.
Congrats. We're not going to really post that one.
No, I'm not going to post that one.
That's just for the listeners and the viewers.
That's what I... Yeah. The clear winner this year.
Nathan, 2022's best writer.
Yeah, I've written down a few.
Let's hear it.
Daniel Warren Johnson for Duo Powerbomb and Jurassic League. Mm-hmm. I think those are the two things he did. Thomas Kingis for Human Target, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, Batman, Danger Street, a couple other things. Some more Batman. So that's pretty... He's been busy. Chip Zdarsky, friend of the show. Daredevil, Batman, Public Domain, Stillwater, New Bern, Devil's Reign.
Jesus Christ.
I know. He's busy. He's a busy man. And more on top of that. Ram V, Aquaman, The Many Deaths of Layla Starr. People really seem to enjoy. I want to check that one out.
That is really up there.
Detective Comics. Mark Waid doing World's Finest and Batman versus Robin. And then Tom Taylor with Nightwing, some deceased stuff, The Dark Knights of Steel, Dark Ages, I think, came out. I don't know. And probably. Then Superman, Son of Kal-El was all stuff they did. Right. This year. Did I miss any that you had in mind?
No.
Okay. What do you think?
I think it should go to Daniel Warren Johnson, just because the level of excitement when his book comes out and you start reading it, and that excitement turns into joy at the same level.
Yeah.
And it's just, and never falters throughout any of his books. Things that you don't even think you'll like, you'll read and you're like, fuck, I like this.
Yeah. And that definitely happened with me, because I don't really care much for wrestling.
I'm like more interested in wrestling because of this book.
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm missing something, clearly.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Well, I picked it up and I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to like this, but I read it and I was hooked immediately. I don't think I've been hooked harder.
Yeah.
So, and it's not a Nacho series, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So far, at least. But I think this one was a tie between Daniel Warren Johnson and Chip, just because I'm liking all the stuff that Chip's doing. Yeah. But because Daniel Warren Johnson put my name in his book, Duo Powerbomb Issue 2.
In the letters.
We in the letters section.
He didn't just throw it in there.
He didn't put me. I'm not a character in that book, to be clear. But my name is in there at some point. So I think Daniel Warren Johnson wins this one by nepotism. That's not what that word means, but but you get the
by
idea.
By narcissism.
Yeah. By way of narcissism. Okay. But I do like Tom King. He's always consistent. Human Target's great. It's probably my favorite series has been going on this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Chip's also great. Ram VM, like an Aquaman. Mark Waid, we hyped him up. And then Tom Taylor's always doing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
The fact that he can balance like two event feeling like books, like Dark Ages and Dark Knights of Steel. And they both start with dark.
Yep.
It's crazy to me. Also, Superman turning bisexual. I can't remember if that was last year or the year before.
I think it might have been this year.
I think it was this year, but he's pushing the envelope there. Nightwing, people love. So
we've read Nightwing. It's some good stuff.
It is some good stuff. Best artist, which I guess is like I wrote as like penciler.
I'm a penciler.
Yeah. So Dan Mora for Once in Future, which he's done this year, and World's Finest. He's also got some kick-ass fucking...
A lot of variants.
A lot of variants. He's perfect for DC variants right now, I feel like.
Mm.
And Power Rangers did some covers there.
Nice.
We should read his... He did a Power Rangers book that he drew.
A whole book?
A whole fucking book.
Daniel. Oh my God.
I know. How amazing would that be?
Pretty amazing.
Jorge Jimenez for Batman. Like two different kinds of Batman. Or for two different writers.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Warren Johnson for Duo Powerbomb. Marco Cicchetto for Daredevil, Devil's Reign. Fiona Staples for Saga. And Matthias Bergera for Step by Bloody Step is what I've written down. Did you have anybody else in mind?
No, I think that basically handles it. We talked about all the nominees last week.
I'm going to strong arm you a little bit. I think it's got to be Matthias Bergera for Step by Bloody Step, because he is the story. And we've already given Dan Mora a thing. We've given Dana Moore Johnson a thing. We've given Saga a thing for Fiona Staples.
Okay.
And I really do like his art on Step by Bloody Step. So
I haven't even like looked at it.
It's great. We should read it or look at it.
So I give it points without reading it, just because he's essentially carrying the story and like telling the story with his artwork without the dialogue, which seems very frustrating.
And it's all very coherent. Okay. I know a dude's name in that book.
Like a character?
Like a character's name. It's like a symbol, but I know what it is. I could draw for you right now.
He's like Prince?
It's like, yeah. That's exactly right, yeah.
Is his name like, Prince?
No. I don't. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's what it translates to. He is a prince, actually. The character is like a prince. So, or is that
is
what
this is a book about Prince?
No, not the musical artist.
I like he hesitated.
Yeah.
But
I didn't make sure. But yeah, he's really good. And I like have been just eagerly awaiting for his next project because I just want to see it so bad. So
okay, I feel like I've been strong arming you, so you can have this one.
He gets this one, Matthias. You earned it.
Good job, buddy.
Come out with more books.
We'll maybe now. Read your trade soon.
We should. It'll be quick. if we need a quick week, we should do that one. Best inker: Jonathan Glapion and J.P. Mayer. Jonathan Glapion did We Have Demons and stuff this year, and I think he did some Batman. And J.P. Mayer did Vanish. J.P. Mayer won last year. He should win this year, I feel like.
Jonathan Glapion, you can almost see his influence on the artwork when you are aware of what Greg Capullo's like pencils look like.
Yeah.
And how much black is in We Have Demons is like...
Okay, fair.
It's like it's very heavy in that. And so the inker is like a very important role in books like that.
Yeah.
And especially just kind of taking what is basically just a concept for him when he looks at these pencils and then making those things pop.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I do agree in that fact that like it feels like some inkers don't provide their flavor.
Right.
And it feels like Jonathan Glapion and Greg Capullo really have like a collaboration going.
Yeah, he'll probably be on Marvel stuff when he moves over, you know?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Which would be really sick.
Oh, see him on Sentry or whatever?
I think that would do something bigger than Sentry, but...
Yeah, probably. But I can't wait to see him in Marvel if he follows Greg. I assume he will.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a good point. We should probably give it to him.
Gotta spread the love. J.P. Mayer, we love him. You haven't even read Vanish, so you don't get that.
I've seen the covers. It looks pretty good.
Didn't you read We Have Demons?
I read the first issue.
Me too. That's good enough.
And you know what? Yep. He did pretty good there. It would be shittier.
Was he on the Batman and Spawn crossover? Because didn't Greg do the artwork for
Greg
that?
Greg did do the artwork for that. I assume he did the inks.
All right. Yeah. We'll give him that.
You know, it's funny because the work that came from this year that I was remembering was like a cover for Gotham Knights, the weird Gotham Knights thing that came out. So that's what I had top of mind. But yeah, you're right. Batman and Spawn. Did you pick that up?
No, I don't really care.
I thought it was a big week when it came out. So I was like, eh. So we'll see how it goes.
So I don't like Spawn enough to be excited about this crossover.
That's fair.
You know, I appreciate what they're doing and it's cool that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's a big day for Spawn fans.
Yeah, true.
But I haven't read any of it, and so I'm just not attached to this thing.
Dude, that King Spawn series is on like issue 18.
Is it really?
Yeah. I was like,
I feel like that came out this year too.
Been pumping those out. All right, and last one is best colorist. I've written down Jean-Francois Belu for Twig. He's the guy. Belu.
Belu?
B-E-A-U-L-I-E-U. Too many vowels. 6 vowels, 2 consonants. Not a big
fan. He doesn't get it just because his last name.
No, he's very French. I like him. He's good on Twig. And he's good on... I think he's on I Hate Fairyland this time around. So,
okay.
Adriano Lucas, who has been coloring 8 Billion Genies.
Mm.
That is a very colorful and like poppy sort of world. And it would be really hard to balance a lot of that because there's a lot of shit on the page. And so I think he does a really good job balancing that. Dave Stewart for The Punisher Detective Comics. I wrote DetCom. I don't know why I abbreviated it because it confused myself. He was on Bone Orchard Mythos with Andrea Sorrentino, Primordial with Andrea Sorrentino, and Danger Street, where he's coloring Jorge Fornes.
It's a fucking busy guy.
He is a busy guy.
Last year?
No. Maybe.
Who won last year?
I don't know. I think it might have been Jordy.
Maybe.
And then I also have Matthews Lopez, who did Step by Bloody Step. Also very good coloring in that book.
We gave it to Greg Smallwood.
Oh, for Human Target?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Definitely Dave Stewart this year then.
I would nominate Tamara Bonvillain.
She's great. Here's why it's Dave Stewart, Daniel.
Nathan, no.
Daniel?
Because I've known about Dave Stewart for years.
Stop.
Best up and coming colorist.
That's not the Tamara category. Bonvillain. That's not the category. What else has she done other than World's Finest?
I've seen her name. Isn't she on this? Or wasn't she on One Star Squadron?
No.
Hold on. Let's look up her.
If she is, she wins. Let's go with that. I don't think she is, but I don't even know who did it for the book we're doing this week. It is Antonio Fabella is the colorist on the book Thanos Wins. And for One Star Squadron, it is Dave Stewart. Another book he's done this year, Daniel.
Which one?
He's on One Star Squadron.
Dave Stewart?
Yeah.
God damn it.
So.
I think you're just sexist, Nathan.
I'm not sexist.
Why don't you want her to win?
I am realistic. let's look up what else she's done, because I'm not. I always see her name and I'm like, oh yeah, she's great.
But then
I
don't. Sins of the Black Flamingo.
Okay.
It's,
let's read that one next week.
With Travis Moore.
Okay.
Department of Truth.
Okay. I read it.
The Ludocrats. Stealth.
Big fan.
I don't know. It's just like I've been seeing her name and I'm like, wow, that's some good stuff there.
I will say that her she's and Dan
on,
Mora.
She's on Wonder Woman.
Historian?
Batman, I don't know. Just Wonder Woman. She's okay. On What's in Future, so other Dan Mora stuff.
Yep.
They're all terrible.
All the series? Is that a series name?
It's a series name.
Oh, I thought you were just saying all of her series that she was working on were all terrible.
I would never. Ooh, she's on Nightwing, Nathan.
Very good work there.
That is some good shit there.
Here's why it's Dave Stewart, Daniel. One Star Squadron. We love it. Punisher. He's coloring two different artists, drastically different. And I know you haven't read the book, but Jesus Saiz has like a more 3D looking sort of feel. And Paul Azaceta has a very two-dimensional sort of feel. And I think it's because he's the one that takes over like the flashbacks and stuff. They're both colored incredibly well. So I think that's a really strong one for me. And then obviously all the Andrea Sorrentino stuff, that guy's crazy. How do you color that? Dave Stewart does it.
She's on that Nubia in the Justice League book.
Oh yeah. Big fans of that one.
Yeah. Banger. Nothing but bangers.
So the only thing that you've read from her is World's Finest.
And Nightwing.
Correct? And Nightwing, but that not this year Nightwing. She could have sucked this year.
No, this year Nightwing. She's on issue 102.
Are you caught up with that book?
No.
But I'm saying you haven't read it. Of these things, I have read for Dave Stewart, Punisher, Detective Comics,
Bone Orchard, Mythos, Dave Stewart, congratulations.
Danger Street, and One Star Squadron. I read Danger Street this week. It's pretty good, too.
Dave Stewart's probably not even real.
I've never seen him.
He's also on that Cosmic Detective book.
The Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Oh, did you read that one?
No.
It's probably pretty good.
It looks good.
Congrats, Dave Stewart. I fought for you.
I think I fought for him last year, so.
And I was like, no, he's dumb and stupid. But this year, he's smart and awesome.
Hell of a year.
Yeah. And that concludes the Trade Waiters Awards.
And then now we got Best Prestige Book.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
A category you insisted on.
I did because I felt like it would be a good category.
We should just add a new category every year.
We should. And just have it be like hours long.
Best Looking Comic Creator.
Jorge Jimenez. Like, we once again this year.
For the 10th year in a row.
Yeah, that dude's my man crush. I swear to God.
Anyway.
Look him up.
So we got.
We have a lot of DC stuff. There was a Boom thing that came out by Lee Bermejo. It looks pretty good. I haven't read it. That's just an honorable mention, I guess.
Okay.
Aquaman Andromeda, Batman 1 Dark Knight. There's the Wonder Woman one that came out by Phil Jimenez drawing. I've seen some stuff on that.
Wasn't there Superman and Lobo?
Superman and Lobo was last year.
I think you're wrong.
I think it ended last year.
We got Suicide Squad, Get Joker.
Was that this year?
Maybe.
Okay, that's a good one though.
I think there was some one about Harley or something. Some Harley Quinn
Probably one. Probably a Harley Quinn one, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a very good one to end on. But you do you think it's this. One Dark Knight?
Yeah, probably.
Fair. I do like Christian Ward, but bigger. which is what this book is.
A little bit wider.
To me, the pitch for Aquaman Andromeda is Christian Ward stuff, but more per page. And I'm like, fuck me, I'm down for that.
What does that mean?
And it is pretty good. I haven't finished it though. I did finish One Dark Night, and it's great. So, good job, Jock.
Yeah,
who wrote and drew it and colored? I think.
Ooh,
who is insane. So that concludes the Trade Waiters Awards.
It sure does.
Very official.
Congratulations to all our winners, to all of our losers.
Yeah.
Better luck next year.
Just do some better work next year, just perhaps. Just be better. Yeah. Just be better, Tamara Bonvillain.
So some dumb kids in my attic, basically.
Yeah.
Just judging all your work.
In their 20s. Haven't been reading comics for more than like a decade.
7 years now.
It's been, a little bit more for me.
Okay.
Oh my God, I've almost been reading comics for a decade.
Wow.
Consistently. That's crazy.
Have you done anything for 10 years?
No.
Except breathe?
I don't think so.
Alrighty.
Let's get into the book that we read this week, Daniel.
Alrighty.
I gifted you a book that I think that my old pal Daniel would enjoy for Christmas. And that was Thanos Wins by Donny Cates, Jeff Shaw, and Antonio Fabella.
Yep.
This is the Thanos series that started with Jeff Lemire. And then somehow got better when he was off of it and turned into Donny Cates.
This collects Thanos 2016, issue 13 through 18, and the Thanos Annual number one.
Otherwise known as the Thanual.
The Thanual, if you will.
I'm glad that you had that joke ready as well. What did you think of this book, Daniel?
We just think the same. Lots of fun, Nathan. A lot of good ideas, a lot of fresh things.
Yep.
I wish I would have been... going in blind on the Cosmic Ghost Rider stuff. There was some surprises that I wasn't aware of because just kind of the way his like character like kind of unfolded.
Right.
It would have just kind of been fun to not have read the Cosmic Ghost Rider trade.
Sure.
Prior to this.
Didn't we read one other thing with Cosmic Ghost Rider in it?
Maybe. But yeah it was a good time.
Yeah.
And I think this will be a hard Thanos book to top.
For sure. I think it's great. I think when I first read it, I didn't really know what to expect. And I think that was like definitely a good thing because I read it and I was like, what the fuck am I reading? But yeah. I knew it was awesome.
It does feel like a young Donny Cates, you know, like he hasn't really like completely let loose this with how like absolutely insane he can be.
Yeah. This is like his first Marvel series.
This is like when I saw him on this and Jeff Lemire was off it, I'm like, I'm not picking this shit up anymore. And I was like, who's this kid? Who's this guy? Thinks he can just come in here and start writing.
Who's this nobody?
Yeah, I know. And I see his name on like other shit, like Silver Surfer and other stuff. I'm like, they just give him everything.
Yeah.
But
he earned it.
Now I realize they were right to do that.
Yeah, it's very good. So very crazy story with lots of fun ideas. I think everybody that's on this book, writer, artist, colorist, is operating, I think, at 100% because... it's very pretty to look at and pretty to read. So
definitely
let's get into it. So issue 13, we set the stage with Thanos casually taking over the Chitauri race on the planet Chitauri Prime. I didn't know if that's what their planet was called, but I learned something new. And he becomes the new king. And the people like beg their new king to have him stop the raids of Cosmic Ghost Rider, who he meets for the first time.
Real quick.
What's up?
First page, there's, you know, just all the people in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a panel with the Inhumans.
Yep.
And Lockjaw looks like a different breed of dog.
He's a very shaggy dog in this. Yeah. That's for sure.
He's not like the bulldog or whatever he is supposed to be, you know?
Definitely shaggier. You're correct.
I just thought that was funny.
What's funny is that this is his like first Marvel series, and in this first page, there's like a Thor page, an Inhumans page, and then like a Hulk. I wouldn't say it's exclusively Hulk page, but like Hulk's in there. He's written like these three series like since then.
He did Inhumans?
He did the Death of the Inhumans.
Donny Cates did.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
totally missed that.
It's kind of funny. Oh, and Silver Surfer's on this page. And he did a series on that too.
A little so foreshadowing.
It's kind of, I don't think it's foreshadowing. I just think he likes those characters. And then when they were like, what do you want to do? He just did those characters.
He just opened up the first thing that he wrote.
Yeah, he's like, let's reflect on my work. And then he opens up the first page and it's all those.
Yeah. So
something that's really strong with this story is Donnie has like, I think a really colorful like script. or like he's really colorful with his words, because he really likes to just come up with like creative ideas of things to like imagine about like the Marvel cosmos that I think is pretty fun.
Yeah, I got a little pretentious in parts, but
I love it. I think it is pretentious because Thanos is, you know.
I think he's just writing just to write in certain spots, you know, when he's just kind of filling some of the panels.
Well, there's an idea here about how Chitauri Prime is like a really cold planet, and so all the Chitauri blood in the air froze and turned into what's called war snow. And then when Cosmic Ghost Rider comes in, that snow melts and turns into a blood rain, which is sick.
Pretty hard.
Yeah, pretty hard. He also does well making Thanos seem like pretty powerful by just conquering the Chitauri like out of boredom almost. So he's just like, by the time we see him, he's like already done everything and conquered it.
Yeah.
So I like that. Also, Jeff Shaw, amazing. He's like perfect.
Draws a killer Thanos for sure.
He does draw a killer Thanos, and I'm pretty sure he's the one that designed Cosmic Ghost Rider. And what the fuck? How insane is this design?
Absolutely nuts.
The motorcycle itself being like a weird, like one of those things that you'd like, those orbs that you'd touch, and then there'd be like little electric bolts going to where your fingers touch.
Yeah.
It looks like that. And it's awesome. So super fun idea. So Cosmic Ghost Rider is a spirit of vengeance, a former Galactus Herald, and he's the current right hand to the mysterious Final King, is what he says. And he wants to bring Thanos in. So Cosmic Ghost Rider uses a fragment of the time stone that he has, and he wraps Thanos in like the chains, and then he brings him millions of years in the future to meet his future self, King Thanos.
I like how the chains are made from like the bones of Sidorak.
Yeah, love that.
Pretty, I was like, yeah. They didn't need Perfect. Anything to explain what they are, but it's kind of cool.
You kind of do, though, because if they're just like iron,
good chains.
He's going to do a Superman thing where he like breaks out of the chains, the Green Lantern chains.
Yeah,
you know, true. So you kind of have to, you know, sure, you could suspend this or your belief or whatever, but it helps to have that context.
I don't know if he's like sticking to just like only like a shorter amount of pages, but it always feels like his issues go by like really fast.
I agree.
Which is probably just like a combination of like good pacing and not like just adding filler just to get to a certain page count, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like anything was like just put in there to get to a certain spot, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I did find myself like flying through this.
Yep, I did too. I love how Thanos, or the King Thanos, sits on a throne of Galactus's severed head.
Pretty hard.
That's never like explicitly mentioned, but I like that it's there.
Yeah.
Pretty hardcore. Yeah. And just a great start to a comic. There's like barely any action, but it's still like it's super engaging with its concept and delivery and Shaw's insane work and pretty awesome coloring too. Because it's important how you color, I think, space in Marvel, and I think he does it pretty well.
Yeah.
So issue 14, there's some Thanos origin. So we see that he was like born a god, making his mom go mad. There's like a recap double page spread of like his highlights in like actual Marvel history.
Pretty bananas.
I love a page like that. It's like one of my favorite tropes that is like exclusive to comics. Just like having a quick recap of everything you need to know about this character, but like in a double page spread somehow. It's just so good. Then we see like how Thanos wins and becomes like the King Thanos. And he's had like how he like killed like the Avengers and stuff like that. He's been living in this victorious silence for a super long time. So there's like no one left, pretty much. A couple lines here that I thought were pretty hardcore. There's a line where he says, like, a beginning and an end are indiscernible in the eyes of infinity. And then he lists like a couple examples, like a man who dies from a gunshot was dead the moment the bullet was created. Pretty fun. The dinosaurs went extinct the second the asteroid went out of orbit. Or when like they were explaining how he was born a god and like the mom like went mad. One of the lines is, you'd go mad too if you gave birth to a god, which I think was pretty cool.
Does she go mad?
She like goes insane because she like stares into the eyes of Thanos and like sees infinity or something. And she like goes mad. And then later Thanos kills her when he's like 12. That's what he says. Weird. So
you think like his mom would like look like him, but it just looks like a normal human girl.
Yeah, that was explained as well. Like,
does that mean he's Jesus?
Yeah, something like that. Like Thanos, he's an Eternal. He was born from like a race of Eternals, but for some untold reason, he arrived different, which is not Donnie making that up. That's just like continuity.
Yeah.
So he did pretty good with what he's given there.
Then the best part of this issue is Thanos is up against all the Celestials just on this planet. They're walking towards him. He's got Black Bolt and chains, and he just stabs him in the stomach. To make him yell and just fucking kill all the Celestials.
So sick.
Which is absolutely bonkers.
I know. I love it so much.
Because, like, I was thinking about that. I'm like, would he make that loud of a noise if he was just stabbed? But then again, I'm like, I don't think there's anything you can do to him that'd make him yell like that.
Definitely. Like, you couldn't just, like, punch him in the stomach or something.
Maybe,
you
know, cut off an arm or something.
You could do that. That would be kind of cool, too. But I love, like, Jeff Shaw's sense of, like, scale. Because in this double page spread where the Celestials are, like, walking up towards them, they feel fucking ginormous.
Yeah.
So I really like his sense of all that. The two Thanoses, the Thani. I don't know how they,
you just try to pluralize Thanos?
Yeah, Thani.
The Thanoses.
Yeah, the Thani, they start fighting after King Thanos asks for help, and he, like, says please, which displeased current Thanos, who's not a beggar. So King Thanos stops the fight using the power cosmic, and then he asks for help getting death back. And that's how that issue ends. I really like Shaw's emotion with Thanos, because there's a couple pages that are, like, a little, I think, exaggerated, but, like, still pretty good at the same time. Like this one where he's, like, kind of confused and he's like,
Yeah.
he's pretty good at that. So issue 15, we find out that King Thanos keeps Cosmic Ghost Rider around so that he can penance stare Thanos every morning, which Thanos actually likes doing. Normally it, like, shows you your sins and stuff, and people don't like it, but Thanos is like, hell yeah, give me more of this.
They're like, yeah, those are my best memories.
Yeah, it's like a career highlight thing for him.
Yeah.
And then King Thanos tells Thanos that he needs help killing the Fallen One, and he's the one guy that he's not been able to kill so that he can finish pleasing death. Also, Hulk is King Thanos' dog, and Cosmic Ghost Rider reveals himself as Frank Castle.
Yep.
The first page is like a awesome, like, penance stare, like, splash page, which is sick. I just like the effect on, like, the eyes and, like, the coloring.
Yeah.
Super cool. And there's a funny line where Cosmic Ghost Rider says, like, hey, you sit in a barber's chair long enough, eventually you're gonna get a haircut, you know? And then it cuts to Thanos's, like, bald ass head, and he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean. And then the Hulk dog. That's an insane idea.
Yeah. Cause, like, you have to kind of reinforce the fact that everyone is, like, dead in, like, the universe. Like, it's just those three. And then
the Hulk dog. And then this Fallen One guy.
Yeah, and that Fallen One. Who, we're like, who is that? But, yeah, Hulk is old. He looks, like, kind of pathetic. He's got, like, a long beard and long hair.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it. And I guess the Hulk would just kind of keep living when other people weren't.
Yeah.
You know? Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So I like that he's got, like, super long hair and beard. Mm-hmm. But, like, the whole time he's like, kill me, pretty much.
Yeah.
So Thanos confronts King Thanos, where they talk about whether pretty much, like, Thanos is, like, a simp for death or not. And, like, current Thanos is like, ah, I'm rid of that hoe. And then King Thanos is like, you're not.
She always comes back.
She always comes back.
You always go back to her.
And, like, last time King Thanos saw her was, like, thousands of years ago. And then the Fallen One comes in, which is the Silver Surfer, except he's black now, which means that he's cooler.
Yeah.
And scarier. Means
he's evil.
Yeah. Means he's a bad guy now.
Because black means evil.
Yeah, exactly. I like that there's a bunch of little details we learn about King Thanos. Like, he has a flaming sword, but it's like Surtur's Twilight Sword, which is pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
Or how he killed, like, Adam Warlock, which I'm pretty sure is his brother. I don't know what the continuity thing there is, but isn't that his brother?
Maybe.
I think it's what it's supposed to be.
But I was kind of waiting for Donny Cates to throw out that it was like the Necro Sword or something like that. He just would have it.
No, because I think
because, like, it would Gore still have it at that point, you think?
At this point, no.
Because I guess
this is in the future. Like, where we're at. Millions of years. But so Gore is from the Thor run.
Yeah.
There's also the King in Black. What's his name? From Venom.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that guy that has it as well. What the fuck is his name?
It's not Namor. Does it start with an N? Null.
Null, thank you. Good job. Thanks. I haven't even looked it up yet. So yeah, Null eventually wields it because it's like a symbiote and he controls the symbiote. So it's like,
but I'm just thinking of like, biggest things you could possibly have. And as far as swords, I've never heard of this sword.
Yeah, me neither.
But then again, like, I don't think like Donny Cates had then like asked
Jason Aaron
if he could like use it in his Venom run.
He did.
You know, but like Venom, I think came out after this, didn't it?
Venom came out after this. Yeah.
Right. So like that idea hadn't even come together yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm sure if Thanos was written now, it would definitely be there. It
definitely would have had the Necro Sword.
But so we get some different kind of back matter in this one, but we get our...
We get the variants in between the issues.
Yeah. Raphael Albuquerque one's definitely really fun.
Yeah, I love that dude.
Baby Shani.
We get the ones where it's like just their head that I never enjoyed.
Really? I knew you wouldn't like those.
Dude, it's just like, come on. Show me something.
But there's more heads behind him.
So?
I kind of like headshots.
Like, I do too, but for like a whole cover, I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
Not my favorite. There's an Iron Fist in the background,
dude, though. Remember the covers for like The Wicked and Divine?
No.
They were just all different characters' faces.
Well, that's probably why I forgot.
And they're pretty good. Because
it's boring, Daniel.
They were like perfect, Nathan.
You're telling me you don't want this? A Cosmic Ghost Rider with a Galactus and like a fist, like the Arthur meme.
Yeah, Galactus. Galactus has like a giant gun and he's got like a cloak for some reason.
How sick is that? It's like an apocalypse, like Galactus.
Apocalyptic Galactus.
Yeah.
He causes apocalypse. Yeah, Nathan.
He's the one that does that.
He's not in them.
So that really speaks to, you know, how fucked up of a time he's been having. So, yeah. So issue 16, we get the Cosmic Ghost Rider origin. And I'm just going to run through it real quick because we've talked about him before. But
a long time ago.
Old Frank Castle and the rest of Earth's heroes died to Thanos. Then the way that Punisher dies is like some rocks fall on his head, which is pretty like lame. But then Frank Castle accepts the deal with Mephisto to be the spirit of vengeance. But since everybody's dead because of Thanos, there's no more life. And so he's just alone for like thousands of years until Galactus comes seeking help and comes to Earth and eventually makes Frank the herald of Galactus as well. Then the duo searches the cosmos for Thanos to try and confront him again. And when they find him, Thanos decapitates Galactus and recruits Cosmic Ghost Rider because he can't kill him, but he's still going to be able to show him a bunch of evil for, you know, Cosmic Ghost Rider to punish. So that's that whole origin.
Real quick,
couple things. Ripping Iron Man in half is so sick.
That is like insane, and I'm so surprised it's in a Marvel book.
Why did they say yes? Because they would never normally do that, I feel like.
Yeah, they're like, no one reads this, you do whatever you want.
That might have been what they were thinking.
And I thought it was odd that the Punisher was like sleeveless, but he still had his white gloves on.
I didn't even notice that.
I just couldn't help but notice.
You're 100% correct.
And this is like the future, like when he gets to the part where he kills.
Where Thanos eventually kills like the Earth heroes.
It was kind of freaky seeing the Ghost Rider just kind of roaming around like the just, empty Earth.
Yeah. I love that Galactus is so desperate that he comes to Earth looking for like Reed Richards for help.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that he just like knew him on like a last name basis.
Well, yeah. Well, he's like come to Earth multiple times at this point, and like
so they're just homies.
Well, the Fantastic Four always gets involved, and like they make a deal or something, and you know he goes away and he's like, fine, not today. So if he does know someone from Earth and he's looking for somebody, it's gonna be Reed Richards, I feel like.
Yeah.
He's also bleeding a fuck ton.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
He's visuals. Like gushing like blood out of his like stomach, and I also really love how big Galactus is. Like all the dialogue between Frank and Galactus is just super fun to see because of the difference in size.
Yeah.
There's a panel where literally the background of the comic is just Galactus's face.
Yeah.
And they're like talking to each other. And I'm like, this is so sick. Or like just seeing how big he looks compared to like a full Frank Castle is pretty fun.
Right.
He's got a big fucking head. And I love this little line when they're fighting Thanos. And it's just, it's so stupid, but I love it. And there's a line that says, the roar of the writer's engines, parentheses, audible even in the vacuum of space.
Yeah, gotta mention that.
Because it makes no sense.
There could be a fucking atmosphere in this planet.
But it's no. Amazing. So we jump to the present, where Silver Surfer has the Annihilus Horde with him, and they fight the Thanai. And then Cosmic Ghost Rider does a big fire blast.
The Thanos is...
The Thanai, Daniel. the Thanos? Is it like fish? We're like...
The Thanos? No, that makes it sound like we're talking about one guy.
Yeah, that's fair. So it's either Thanos or Thanai, and I like Thanai. Rolls off the tongue a little bit better.
Thanos is...
The Thanos is... Yeah, Cosmic Ghost Rider does a big fire blast. And he knocks out all the Horde. And then we find out that Silver Surfer wields Mjolnir. Which is just some more batshit crazy shit to throw into this book, and I'm here for it.
I was like, oh my god.
Which it does feel like this, like, constantly, like the stakes somehow rise like a little bit every time.
I thought it was fun that, like, Thanos is like, why are you waiting this long to come kill me? He's like, I wasn't waiting, I was working. I'm becoming worthy.
What are you doing?
And then ding.
Boom. Yeah. And there's like a bunch of electricity. Funny. It's so good though. But, like, what are you doing? Everybody's dead, supposedly. So, like, what are you doing to become worthy?
I like how you've, like, kind of told me about all, like, the different Donny Cates books that are out. Like, you know, like Silver Surfer Black and Thanos Wins and things like that. And the Silver Surfer Black is, like, in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just assume it automatically leads into that, you know? And then we read Cosmic Ghost Rider, and this also leads into that,
mm-hmm.
which I think is just... kind of fun. He's just kind of got his stuff like all connects.
Yeah.
Which seems like doesn't really happen, you know?
It does, but they don't really connect either, you know? Like,
but they're like in the each other's stories.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, like we read Cosmic Ghost Rider, but you didn't feel lost at all, did you? Like, you got the idea that, you know,
it just picked up where this ends.
Pretty much. Or yeah.
Which he's
like dead.
He talks about how he died.
Yeah.
But I like definitely didn't remember that.
Yeah.
And
but yeah,
Silver Surfer Black. We got a Christian Ward cover. That's hard.
Daniel, Trad Moore did Silver Surfer Black.
Ooh,
it's super fun. Just so you know, I just want to.
We can't say do back to back Marvel Week. Say that
we could.
I refuse.
It's our podcast. Daniel, we do whatever we want.
Write it down.
Okay, we'll write it down for future.
Not for next week.
We should also do Once in Future.
No,
why not?
Because I don't know what it is.
It's Dan Mora and Kieran Gillen.
I don't like new things. Kieran Gillen is barely okay.
You like him. Wait.
Why do I like him?
No, Nathan? Who's the guy that you like? Fucking, he's on...
Not many people.
He's on The Wicked and the Divine. Who am I thinking of?
That's Kieran Gillen.
Is it Keith Giffen? Who's the artist on that you like?
Jamie McKelvey.
Jamie McKelvey.
Yeah, so good.
They're one and the same to me. They're completely different people. They do completely different jobs.
They're one person.
Yeah. All right, anyway. Issue 17... Okay, yeah. So they're in a big fight, and there's a lot of damage that Mjolnir causes, and like the power cosmic that he also wields is a lot, and it destroys Thanos' castle, which I think is made of celestial bones. I think they said that at one point.
It sure is.
Pretty hard.
Pretty hard.
And then Cosmic Ghost Rider gets killed with a crazy Mjolnir uppercut from the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, so he kept talking about how he couldn't die throughout this whole book.
Yeah.
And when this happens, I'm like, oh, that's a big blow.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of waiting for him to come back, but then he never does.
He's
I'm
never
like,
back.
Oh, he was actually like killed here.
It is weird that they make a point of that like four times, and then he's just dead now. But I think it's supposed to be he's like so powerful that like you can
kill the unkillable.
Yeah, something like that.
But I guess if they would have just said like, they killed the writer. How is this possible? Or something like that. Just kind of made a point like he's not coming back.
I was too. I forgot that he died in this.
And also it was like, I was like, when the fuck did he die? And I was like, what did I read? And I just forgot how like that whole book played out.
Yeah. I like how you can see the path of like his head, of what his like head takes when he gets like hit.
Yeah, you see like his bottom jaw and some teeth.
Oh, wow. You do. I didn't even notice the bottom jaw.
Oh, yeah. I looked at this panel for like 5 minutes.
It's so cool. Like, this is like, you can have this as like a phone background or some shit, because it's really cool.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
Yeah. And then Hulk does a smash on Silver Surfer Black.
This is a fantastic Hulk panel.
Oh, yeah. Like, where he comes out from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what he was doing up until then, you know? Why do you wait till now?
Well, because he, like, smashed the castle.
Oh,
he let him go free. Loose.
Okay. All right. Good explanation. Thank you.
Yep.
And then so
that catches biceps insane.
That catches him off guard, and then Silver Surfer is able to stop the Hulk by bringing back like Bruce Banner.
He's like, Bruce, my friend, or whatever.
He's like, I know you.
And then he's like, follow me home, or whatever. And so I just thought it was crazy that after like thousands of years, maybe even more, Silver Surfer's just able to bring him back.
Yeah.
And I feel like Bruce Banner would have just like...
just crumpled and just died.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's because the Hulk always brings him back. I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think Jeff Shaw has... he draws like a killer Hulk and a really good range, because he also draws a really good like disheveled Bruce Banner who's super fucking old and weak looking. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you can go from that Hulk, which is probably the buffest Hulk maybe I've seen.
Yeah, huge.
To that is pretty cool.
I think I just like seeing the Hulk with different styles of hair.
Yeah. I like long hair. I like a beard.
I like a mustache.
Where did he grow the mustache? He's never had that mustache before. That was Rolk.
That was okay. Yeah, Rolk.
Yeah,
but still a Hulk character.
Yeah, exactly.
With facial hair.
So, King Thanos kabobs both Bruce and Silver Surfer with that Surtur's sword thing, and then the Thanai finish Silver Surfer off by cutting off his arm and then smashing his head through the hilt of Mjolnir.
Pretty crazy.
Which is awesome. They are really towing the line here, like they just barely censored this panel.
Yeah,
of like his head going through the Mjolnir hilt.
You know exactly what was happening.
Like, it looks like they did it for real, but then you look and you're like, oh, I guess it's kind of censored. But it's like, it's very close to
and
not.
Then they're like, let's just make the blood pink and that'll make everything okay.
Yeah, Marvel's good with blood that's not red, I've discovered.
Yeah,
in the beginning of Amazing Spider-Man, there's a huge bloody scene, but it's all green blood from aliens. It's like Invincible level bloody.
In a book?
Yeah, in The Amazing Spider-Man. Like the first Spider-Man that Ryan Otley did.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's a scene there where it's just all green blood.
Or I know you don't like this movie, but Thor Love and Thunder, when they're like on that cloud place or whatever, and they're fighting all of like...
it's all like black and white then, right?
No. What's... Who did Gerard Butler play?
Zeus?
Yeah, when Zeus and all of his like dudes went down, they just like slaughtered him. Right. And there's like this golden blood just splattering everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is borderline okay.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, just because it's not red, they can just make it as gory as possible.
Yeah. That's the workaround, I guess. And you know what? I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. Good movie.
But here, I guess it is pink. So they're like, you know, thumbs up. Pretty good. Then we see Death pop in at a distance, who's dressed for a wedding. So they're finally there. They killed the last one. Death's there looking like a honey. And
looking like a baddie.
Yeah.
I love this JG Jones cover. It's like almost like a old school kind of trade dress.
That's super fun.
With Silver Surfer Black and Cosmic Ghost Rider in like this retro kind of style.
And we got the little box in the corner with like the...
oh, yeah.
I love the box in the corner with one of the characters in the book on there.
Oh, classic.
Take me back. So, yeah, last issue.
I have a problem with this.
What's up?
I've never seen like Death like this. You know what I mean? I think I'm just too used to like... remember when we read Deadpool versus Thanos?
Yeah.
And they're fighting over Death.
Oh,
they're
both Death is like a skull.
Yeah.
Kind
of like fair. That statue that was earlier in this book.
Yeah.
And so that's what
point.
That's what I was like expecting, right? And then she just shows up and she's just a hottie with a body. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Because normally I thought like Thanos' obsession with like Death was just kind of like weird and purely just
the idea of death, you know?
Just being totally homicidal. But now I get it. I'm like, I'd kill for her too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Tell me who to kill. I'll do it.
The whole universe, I'll get started.
I think I have seen her non like skeletal.
I think I have too, but I just haven't taken her seriously.
Yeah.
But then again,
I do like the skeletal design a little bit more, though, I think.
Because it makes more sense.
Yeah.
But with like the skeletal design,
makes more sense. Like any of this makes sense.
It's just odd that she has like boobs.
Yeah. And like those hips.
Yeah.
Them birthing hips.
But anyway, Death's here.
Yeah, Death's there. Thanos realizes that in order to be with Death, Thanos must die. And Daniel, no one can kill Thanos but Thanos. So the Thanai start punching for a bit.
Okay, real quick. So you have to think about Thanos is super duper old here.
Yeah.
And so he's just got a Thanos dad bod.
I love it. Yeah, he's like shirtless. Both of them are shirtless because of the fight. But yeah, he's definitely got that.
King Thanos is just huge. He's got that beer belly, bit of a gut, but he's still huge, you know?
Look at how small Thanos's head looks.
You got to have a small head on these like big hulking characters.
Yeah, you do.
And another thing with death, it's like, I feel like she's not quite as like scary as she should be, you know, because young Thanos is pissed. He's like, what else do you want from me? Because she's like, just stands at the door.
Yeah.
And she's just like, holds up her hand. She's like, I don't know. Silent.
I think she's being a little cute, you know? You're like, whatever.
I mean, yeah. Oh, death is quirky? Is that?
Yeah, she's being a little quirky. Yeah. She's a crackhead.
She's, you know, playing hard to get or yeah, whatever.
You know, it might be kind of up to the interpretation of the person. You know, like death could maybe look different to everybody.
Yeah. You know? Okay. It's in that.
Something like
eyes
that.
Eyes of the beholder.
Yeah. And so maybe Thanos just wants a big titty goth GF, Daniel.
I get it.
Which is, you know, fair. But yeah, so the final battle, they're punching for a bit. Even though old Thanos wants to die, he just wants a good fight. I don't know what the deal is there. They eye laser each other, which I forgot is a power that Thanos has. But that's canon.
I feel like Thanos' powers are so vague to me.
He's...
Because like just the different interpretations that I've seen, I'm not sure what's just kind of the bare bones powers of him.
But yeah, well, he's an Eternal, technically, because he was born from Eternals. So, like, okay. Icarus has laser eyes. Like, he has laser eyes.
Okay.
So, he's got, like, the relative strength of an Eternal. And then, I don't know where, like, the power cosmic thing comes into play. But he's got some of those lasers, too. That's, like, the only things that I know from him, though. And he can't die, I guess.
Something else I forgot to mention. Did King Thanos, like, kill Bruce? Is Bruce dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
Okay.
I guess he just never turned into Bruce when...
I feel like he's definitely tried. People have tried like everything to try and kill the Hulk, you know, to where like that doesn't seem like it would be the thing. It's just being stabbed with the special sword.
It is like a god sword.
Okay.
So that's a thing. I also like to think that he hasn't turned back into Bruce, because if he did, he would be like, you know, too weak and would probably die from old age or whatever. So I like to think that he's just been Hulk for like years and years and years. Like
okay.
Millions of years.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then King Thanos gets his arm broken, which is really gross because he's got such a big arm. You know, yeah. How is there a bone sticking through all that?
Yeah. It just rips through all that muscle, I guess.
Yeah. I like the line where he says it's fitting that Thanos can only truly express himself while killing himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty raw. And so, yeah. So Thanos is about to kill King Thanos. But he backs off when he hears King Thanos beg for death. Like he says, please again. And he's like, you know what? Kings don't beg. Yeah. And so he leaves him there.
He's like, I'm not going to do your bidding.
Yeah. So he leaves him there and he takes the fractured time stone. And then he uses Silver Surfer's corpse to charge it with the power cosmic or whatever they needs. And then he brings himself back to the present, vowing to never end up like him. And then King Thanos dies in that reality by being erased from existence. And that's how he dies and goes with death. And that's how it ends. And I think that's a pretty sick and well-rounded and satisfying story, Daniel.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. Lots of just bonkers things going on and really well executed.
Donny Cates has done it again.
Yes, he has. Just doing all the crazy shit.
You right.
Know? So... let's go into some Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Did you read this?
I did read the letter. This is the second time I've read this, but he was just like, he was really excited to get the Thanos gig because he's been interning for the editor of this book or something like that. And he was so excited that he mapped everything out and he sent it in because he just wanted to go balls to the wall crazy. And then they're like, okay, let's do it. And then he's like, all of it.
he was
surprised. And the fact that they didn't take anything away made him really scared because now he had to like go through with everything kind of deal. But he wanted to anyway. It was just like he was expecting to not be able to have Hulk as a dog.
Is this like how he kind of breaks in?
This is his first Marvel comic.
What was his first comic?
Like Buzzkill. He did God Country before this, like right before this.
At Image?
At...
Or somewhere else?
It was an independent book, but yeah.
That's crazy to me. Because normally it's like you somehow get into Marvel or DC, you kind of build your reputation, kind of get a name, and then go to Image to actually make some money, you know?
I feel like it's the other way around most of the time. You have to make comics to know that you're good at comics, you know?
Maybe you could like self-publish some stuff or do some web comics kind of things.
I got to look it up. I don't think it was Image, if not thinking about it, but it might be.
God Country? Aren't you a big God Country boy?
I wouldn't say it is an Image book.
Got you.
But he did like Buzzkill with Jeff Shaw before this, which I haven't read, and I don't think that one's Image.
That's crazy. Just kind of get a gig from just interning with a like editor.
Well, like he knew him. He didn't get it because of that. But oh, that one's also Image.
Yeah, because like, are you just going to pick up just a random number one, you know, from Image? You don't want to do it because sometimes. You know the people.
I have sometimes.
You have sometimes.
If it's a good, my process for getting like a new thing, if I like the title and I like the cover, I'm like, don't know who these people are. And then I flip around in like the first couple pages. And if I like the artist, I'm in. That's all it takes.
Fair.
So.
But anyway, let's keep moving.
More back matter. We got the Thanuel, which I didn't write down explicitly what everything was, but it was kind of like a anthology of just Thanos stuff. And so it starts with like Cosmic Ghost Rider, and that's like Donny Cates, Jeff Shaw, all the people. And he's like, I'm dead. Here's some stuff that went down with Thanos. And
it's a bunch of like four pagers.
Yeah. So it's like him raising Gamora and, you know, giving her warriors to fight. There's one where he's just constantly terrorizing this one dude on his birthday, and like only on his birthday he will just ruin some aspect of his life.
Like when he was one, he just stole his blanket.
Yeah, which is super evil. Or like when he has a job and the job's going good, he's like, did you get me fired? And he's like, no, but your cat's dead.
Yeah, shit like that.
So it's like pretty silly, but you know what, pretty evil at the same time. When he gets a new apartment, he floods it on his birthday.
Yep.
Then we get one where he's trying to appeal to death. He's killing a bunch of things, whatever. There's one where he goes to a planet and is very cutesy looking, and he's about to like destroy everything, but the bunnies are just super down to like kill themselves and each other. Yeah. And he's like, you know, this is not very fun. So then he leaves.
Yeah.
I like I forget that he had the throne that he would like ride around in.
Yeah.
But that was a thing. I'm surprised that the Thanos copter wasn't in here. Remember the Thanos copter?
Yeah, very big opportunity.
Yeah, it could have been in this story. There's probably my favorite one is he's helping an old lady across the street. But the reason that he did it is because someone that was on the bus that was waiting to go because the lady's crossing the street didn't. There's like a butterfly effect thing where she like didn't end up curing cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
And because Thanos was helping him cross the street, and so it's like he's being evil. Like,
she bumped into someone specific to get all that stuff rolling.
Yeah, exactly. So you knew
which is fun.
And then there's like this last one with a super interesting artist, and I forget what it's about even.
It's like there's this like race of people that worship this god and whatnot, and then Thanos shows up and tells them that he just like killed their god and like ripped his head off, and they can go walk over to this part of the planet and see the body and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so now the people have no reason to be good to each other.
This artist is wild.
Super weird.
Fraser Irving is his name. I just looked it up. And it's very, I don't know, but it feels different, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's pretty cool. Pretty trippy most of the time as well. So.
And then we see Cosmic Ghost Rider at the doors of Valhalla.
Which leads into Cosmic Ghost Rider, I believe.
With Odin. Which is fun.
Mm-hmm. And then we get one more variant by Mike Diodato.
Yeah. I love his Thanos. His Thanos is great.
Yeah, he does do a good... He does really good with just big buff people.
Because he was on the Jeff Lemire run.
Yes.
And so...
Which is pretty great.
Yeah, he looks awesome.
What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Nathan, it's a gotta have it, Nathan.
It is a gotta have it. Clearly. I'm glad you think so. Was it a good birthday? Was it a good Christmas gift?
Yeah, it was a good one. I appreciate it.
All right. Very good stuff. I would give it a gotta have it as well.
What is in our poll list?
Yeah, next segment, the poll list.
Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
So, I got three things, Daniel. I got Doctor Strange number 2 from Tradmore.
Oh, shit.
Really excited for that one. I abbreviated this book and I forgot what it was, but it's Once Upon a Time at the End of the World.
Yep, number 2.
And I abbreviated it, so it's just OUATATEOTW.
Watiatu.
And then there's a new Green Lantern book that came out.
Oh, really?
It was like a result of Dark Crisis, I think. So it's okay. Like a Green Lantern, John Stewart book.
Are you reading Dark Crisis?
No.
Do you know anything about it?
Kind of.
They're really, I don't know who makes it or anything, and I kind of just heard this from another podcast, so who knows how
accurate
they are. But I guess recently, like the Rock is in it, or like Black Adam's in it, and it looks just like the Rock.
Yeah,
and I guess there's some point where there's a big fight or whatever, and Black Adam just says Shazam or whatever, and makes other people bunch of Black Adams. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen a more desperate attempt to promote a movie.
I think it's to capitalize on the movie, because I don't think that, like...
That too.
I don't think Warner Bros. Is like, we need more Black Adam comics, you know?
They definitely did. They reprinted, like, everything.
Because I think that's a DC, like, editorial thing to, like, reprint that. Because if they see Black Adams coming out, they're like, how do we get money off of this? And then they're like, we have nothing. So I think what they did was... When Bendis got on Justice League, they're like, you need Black Adam in this. And that was like a year or two ago. And I think that was the start of it, because they knew that Black Adam was like actually a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's like stuff like that.
But I get it. But I just, when I heard it, I was like, that's so dumb.
It is dumb. And it is funny that they just made him look like The Rock. And I hate when that happens, dude.
Yeah. Except for Nick Fury.
No, because that's different.
I get that there was like a black Nick Fury before, but they just started drawing him just like Samuel Jackson after that point.
He was based off Samuel Jackson when they originally did it. That was the actor they had in mind when Brian Hitch, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was the actor that he had in mind when they were doing an ultimate version. So that one's a little bit different. But the example I don't like is how Harley Quinn's design just changed into the Margot Robbie run from the first Suicide Squad.
No, I like that.
I don't.
Super hot.
I just don't like the hair. Something about the hair.
It's way sluttier.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. Anyway.
Fair enough.
What are you picking up?
So, I'm still on Batman Fortress. Number 8 comes out.
Oh, I missed that.
Did you read anything?
I read Punisher number 9.
Okay.
It's great. And it's really ramping up into a big fight. He's got a red gun now. It's like it's a red the hand gun.
Didn't ask, but that's cool.
It's awesome. I don't know why I like it so much, but it feels like it's great every single time.
You know, I just care that you're happy.
And I read Danger Street number 1 by Tom King, Jorge Fornes, and Trade Waiters Award winning colorist Dave Stewart.
Okay, what do you think?
I have no idea what that book's about.
Okay, great. It's a good start.
There's like 4 different plots that are all happening, and 2 of the plots met each other at the end, but I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Hmm.
I just know that Dr. Fate's in it, so I'm going to give it a couple more issues to see if I see more Dr. Fate.
Is the Creeper in it?
Yes.
Nice.
He looks pretty good, actually.
He's cool.
The plots that are happening, I like his probably the best.
Nice.
But like
favoritism.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Fate's... He's not, like, the character is not in it, but the helmet is. And so there's some shit going on with the helmet.
It's the best part.
Which is cool. I like when shit's going on with this helmet.
Yeah.
But pretty good. I just don't know what's going on, really. So
I read a book called Fire Punch.
Is it different from Robert Kirkman and Chris Somney?
Oh, Firepower? Yes. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
It's by Tatsuki Fujimoto, who is the writer and artist for Chainsaw Man.
Who's Junji Ito?
Junji Ito is a horror artist.
He's doing like a new comic or something.
He does new comics like a ton. I thought it was like an annual kind of thing, but right after I saw something come out from around the Halloween, he had another thing come out the next month.
Yeah.
He has like just bound books come out like all the time.
Oh, cool.
He's like kind of like a legend. Like kind of in like...
I recognize his name, so...
Yeah, I have... See like that one Uzumaki over there.
Oh, yeah. People like that one. Yeah.
That's like one of his like... more popular ones.
Nice. Sorry, continue.
But yeah.
Fire Punch, pretty good.
Fire Punch. So
how many punches contain fire?
However many he wants. So it's a very interesting book. This came out before Chainsaw Man, so I just kinda wanted to read more stuff from him. And I guess this book is supposed to be like more heartbreaking than like Chainsaw Man. And so I was like, all right, I'm down for that. So I just read like the first volume in like one sitting, which is pretty good. It's a little confusing just because some of the characters look like a little bit too similar.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this world where some people have powers. They're called the Blessed, right?
Okay.
Our main character has like regeneration powers. Like he like cuts off his arm to like feed his village and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Because there's this other blessed who like,
is that not weird to them? Or they're like, oh, hell yeah, we got arm
some
tonight?
Some people don't eat arm.
Okay, that's good.
And so this other blessed just froze the world and it's all snowy everywhere.
Mm.
And so there's this guy who's like a part of some army or something and they're trying to take resources, but he's like, no, stop. And then he sees like the cannibalism that's going on. He's like, oh, it's weird. I'm a fire blessed guy. So I'm going to burn down your village.
Mm-hmm.
And my fire continues to burn until like all the fuel is burnt up or whatever. But because he regenerates so fast, he just continuously on fire.
Okay.
And so it takes him like years to kind of get used to just being on fire.
Does he still feel like he's on fire? Like
yeah,
it hurts?
Yeah. Like it's like very painful for him.
Okay. So he's not always on fire.
No, he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he's able to like eventually like focus it to one area, like sure. His arms and stuff, and then like his lower body. And then he just like goes and starts punching people and then they blow up because there's fire.
So the main character, the arm cutter offer guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like as soon as he cuts it off, it like grows back in like a second.
Yeah.
You know, I was definitely interested enough, but I don't think I'll be buying like the next volume for a while.
Yeah. There's definitely some ideas in there.
Yeah. Like it the pacing was pretty good. It has really, really good artwork. I think it's even better than Chainsaw Man, actually.
Yeah.
Like just kind of the style is just a little bit different, you know? But because just what I've heard about it, I'd be willing to go into it a little bit more. But
yeah,
pretty good. Nice. Did you watch anything?
Dano, I watched while getting ready for Christmas. Sophia put on Bad Mom's Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I
hadn't seen that one. Actually solid, I would say.
Really?
It's just, I mean, it's nothing, but it's...
Have you seen its predecessor, Bad Moms?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. I think I saw it in theaters with mom. I'm not going to lie. I remember distinctly watching that one in theaters. Yeah, the next one, it's fine. It brought everybody back, which I thought was interesting, like Kristen Bell and stuff. But who's the actor that plays...
Mila Kunis?
Agatha.
I couldn't tell you.
Dude, I forget her name. She's really good in that. Anyway, the big thing that I watched this week was Avatar Let's Get Wet.
Oh, you watched that?
Yeah, I did.
With who?
Sophie.
Oh.
She's a big fan of Avatar.
Is she?
I guess so.
There's big fans of Avatar?
Sophia's interesting because she'll see something that she kind of recognizes and she's like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of that thing.
Okay.
Or at least I feel like it. Maybe you know, she is. I
can't blame her.
Yeah, I can't blame her either. But she was so excited.
I just remember how certain things made me feel. And so then I get excited about it.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw it. It's 3 hours and 10 minutes long. And
wow. I bet you love that.
Surprisingly, it didn't feel that long.
Interesting.
Like, I think I looked it up and Endgame is like 3 hours and 2 minutes or something. And Endgame felt longer, I would say. Huh. I did, however, take a shit in the middle of this movie.
That doesn't count. You got a break.
I guess that's probably why. I don't really care much for Avatar, but I would say they did pretty solid with this one. Like visually, obviously pretty good. You know, there's a lot of spectacle there. I like everything except the plot of the movie, I think.
I love everything except for the movie.
The main plot, I think, is pretty good. Oh, also visually, something that like didn't work or I don't feel like is quite there yet is like really big emotion. There's a part where like...
someone dies.
Neytiri like, is really sad. And she yells a lot in this movie because she gets really sad. And the way that she like expresses that is like yelling.
Is that Gamora's character or whatever?
Yeah, that's Zoe Saldana's character. Yeah.
She did that a lot in the first one too.
She's a really good voice actor. But a couple parts where she's like clearly very distraught and like yelling and very sad. But the face did not match it. That threw me off. There's also, I think, a weird thing where they change the frame rate of the movie.
For what?
Like, just from, like, super high frame rate in some scenes. I think maybe the action scenes to, like, pretty low that I noticed a couple times and I looked up after. And I think they switched that for whatever reason. Didn't love that.
Memory, maybe?
The whole plot between, like, Jake Sully and, like, the bad guy, I didn't really care about. Things I did like. There's...
The ending.
The ending when it ended. No, I didn't like the ending actually because I was like, what the fuck? One, there's a white kid with dreadlocks. Pretty fun. He's a Na'vi.
Nice.
He's like an adopted Na'vi and I kind of like him until the end. And then there's a scene I like some of the commentary, like, of Avatar. Like, the first one's kind of, like, about, like, mining and stuff and how that, like, you know, it's very environmentalist.
Yeah.
This one is kind of the same, but there's a focus on, like, hunting.
I thought the first one was more, like, anti-government.
It's kind of that, too.
Okay.
But, like, you can see how there would be parallels between, like, industrialization and, like, affecting, like, the environment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a little bit of some of that that's not, like, part of the main plot at all, but it's, like, hunting. And there's a scene where they hunt like a whale. And this whale makes me feel super vulnerable.
Hmm.
But a part of the whale hunting process, there's like these mech crabs that they that the humans will like use to like grab the whale or whatever, help them hunt it. But there's people inside of them or whatever. And so at a certain stage of the whale hunting process, there's like mech crabs that go in. And at this point, I was kind of just zoning out in the movie because it's 3 hours long and it's hard to pay attention the whole time.
Hmm.
But I think that there's a line in there. And I'm not sure because I was zoned out. But when they're ready to deploy the mech crabs, I think there's a guy that very seriously says, "All right, let's get wet." And then like the crabs jump into the water. And I was like, I don't know if that's what he actually said, but if it is, this movie's fucking awesome. He's like, "Let's get wet." And then like mech crabs start like coming in.
Is that what you called the movie? Avatar, Let's Get Wet?
Yeah. Which is why I like the movie. I almost want to see it again just to see if he says, "Let's get wet." Kind of.
Just wait till it comes out.
I will, like, and then I'll fast forward. That's a smart thing to do.
And then subtitles.
Yeah, I should.
They'll tell you what people in the background are saying, you know?
Speaking of subtitles, there's a scene where one of the Na'vi kids, one of the Jake Sully's kids, like clearly don't know that they don't really fit in with this like water tribe people.
Okay.
And they like, there's a whale that he befriends and it's very, they make it very clear that he doesn't understand what the whale is saying. Like when they first meet, and this very second scene with them two together, the whale like moans or not moans. It like talks or says it makes a noise. And then there's a subtitle and this kid like understands him and there's no explanation. Like they, I know, I understand.
It's like Groot.
It kind of is, you know, but like.
What did the subtitle say?
It said, I don't know, but like it's very clear that like the kid understood like the whale, and this is like their second altercation or like their second time meeting each other. And like normally in Avatar they do the thing where they bind their hair and they have like telekinetic like bond.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that, but they've never done that in this movie. So I don't know why he understood it. It's very clear that they forgot something or cut something out, which, you know what, thank god. But
do you think that you,
it bothered me,
like felt like you didn't understand everything because it's been 13 years since the last one or whatever?
No, they do a pretty good job with shoving exposition down your throat for like 25 minutes.
It's time for beginning. That, yeah.
Yeah, they did a Black Adam, I would say.
Ah.
It was... No, I felt like I did understand everything.
Hmm,
nice. It's not that difficult. It's Avatar again.
Yeah.
but in some water. Yeah. So,
a little moist.
Really sick action scenes, though.
You recommend it?
Yes.
Do you think I should watch it?
Yes.
Do I have to?
If you don't want to, I don't give a fuck.
Okay, cool. I'll wait for it to come out on TV and then watch it while I'm doing laundry.
But I will say that it is saying something that I think that people should probably just like go watch it. You
know?
Because I didn't really give a fuck about it and I would have just skipped it. But Sophia really wanted to. And I was like, if we're going to watch this, let's go to a dine-in theater.
So I can order like a million appetizers.
So I want to eat. They didn't have beer there.
What the fuck?
They were out of beer.
Who runs out of beer?
All the beer, Daniel.
I would have gone to a different theater.
All of their kegs or whatever.
Does have beer?
For all of the like draft beers, like their thing broke. I guess all of them, like the ice cream machine broke, but for beer. And so I had a margarita, Daniel.
made the movie way better.
It did, especially because it was happy hour.
That's fair.
I had a $4 margarita, and you know what? I enjoyed the movie, so maybe that's why. So if you're going to see it, have a $4 margarita. that's everything.
Great idea. Nathan, on Christmas Eve,
yep,
which is after we recorded our last episode, I was trying to convince Sarah to watch Klaus because you told me that it was good. And I was like, do you want to watch something Christmassy? She's like, yeah. I'm like, do you want to watch something that's animated? She's like, I'd prefer not to watch something that's animated.
Ooh, red flag.
I'm like, what if Nathan says it's good? She's like, I don't give a fuck what Nathan thinks. And I'm like, okay. It's called Klaus. And I hear it's pretty good. And she's like, is that horror one? I'm like, no, it's Krampus.
Close.
I'm like, do you want to watch Krampus? And she's like, sure. And so
you didn't watch Klaus and you watched Krampus?
Yeah. So just because she knew what Krampus was, she's more willing to watch that.
That's fucked.
So we watched Krampus.
And that has, his face from the off?
It has Adam Scott.
Yes.
It has Toni Collette.
Who's that?
That's the mom from Hereditary.
Hmm.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
What a good actor.
Yeah. There's like a banger cast on this.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. And this movie fucking blew away my expectations, Nathan.
Really?
Because Krampus sounds like the dumbest fucking idea, like a Christmas horror movie.
Yeah.
But no, it was awesome. Loved it. This is something that you and Sophia can watch because it's not scary. It's a
horror. But it's scary.
Nathan, it's a horror comedy. We were fucking laughing our asses off. It's like a funny movie. Like,
okay, cool.
Like there's literally no jump scares. There's okay, just good. Like, it's like as creepy as like The Nightmare Before Christmas, you know,
okay.
Like things get like that dark.
Okay. And that's I like it.
That. The only thing I didn't like is like we had to rent on like Amazon, right? And the monster, like Krampus was like in the promo picture. Ooh. I'm like, I see, cause you don't see him the entire movie.
Yeah.
Except for the end. And
okay. Like, so closing my eyes when I buy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There was like a flashback, like animation part that was kind of like a Tim Burton-esque kind of like animation style to it, which is really fun.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you know what Krampus is. It's just like an evil Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And Krampus also has like little helpers, like how
I did Santa not know that. Does.
Yeah. And so he's
are they super tall?
Huh? No. They're all funny. Like small things. Like he's got like these evil gingerbread men or whatever. And nice. There's like this evil like angel thing that flies up and it flies on Toni Collette and like gives her like a wet willy for some reason.
That's weird. I don't know if I want to watch this anymore.
Yeah. And it was very subtle, but there was like a turning point in the movie where it stopped being like serious and it just went like all out and being like a comedy. Because like
it's like Predator?
No. Predator was trying to stay serious. But like there's okay, Nathan, listen to me.
Okay.
So, like, it's like these two families at a house on Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one guy, he gets, like, his legs wrapped up and, like, and he's, like, pulled out the window and they lose him forever. Mm-hmm. And Adam Scott's just like, oh, great. And I'm just like,
that's your
brother-in-law just got, like, murdered, basically. He's just like, oh, great. Like,
oh, man.
Like, it's such an inconvenience. Like,
oh, shit.
Like, they're at a grape, like, store's out of grapes or something. And
that's funny.
The only part that I really didn't like, but I cannot confirm or deny actually happened, is that there's a dog that goes up into the vents to fight some of the helpers. You hear a squeal and you never see the dog again.
Do they
so
try looking for said dog?
No, which is weird.
That is, I would look for the dog.
Right. They should have looked for the dog, okay. But they didn't. So I think it's safe to assume that the dog did die, but they did it in like a very sensitive way.
My official ruling, having never seen this movie, is that the dog is still alive. Therefore, yep. Still good movie.
Yeah. Cause you can kick a dog to make that sound.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Exactly. I've done it plenty of times.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great movie. Yeah. I thought it was like genuine like horror. And I was like, oh,
yeah. Adam that's what we were kind of hoping for. But Nathan, this movie put me in the Christmas spirit, you know? I was like, kind of like, meh, it doesn't really feel like Christmas this year, you know? I'm like, I guess it's, you know, tomorrow. I got that to look forward to. Presents, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I watched this movie and I'm just like, I want to make some cookies, you know? I want to go caroling.
Same thing with Bad Mom's Christmas for me, you know? I'm like, let me wrap some more presents.
Yeah. And I also watched Glass Onion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very good. As good, less good.
What happened in the first one? I think you can tell that Ryan Johnson is definitely like doing more with it in this one. I think I just kind of enjoyed the first one more, but this one is like very good and doesn't deserve to be on Netflix. That's like how good it is.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
That's a good review. Did you see the first one in theaters?
Yes.
Did you expect it to be good?
Yes.
Okay.
This movie was like so complicated that only Ryan Johnson could write it.
Okay. Nice.
Because you think you know where it's going, and then you definitely don't know where it's going about halfway in. And then towards the end, I'm like, I'm losing a lot of pieces, but I think I'm still holding on kind of thing. Okay. But like, I think a smarter person could probably get it. But yeah, really entertaining. Everyone was cool in it. And
I heard Elon Musk is in it.
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Played by Ed Norton.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's a cool addition to that cast.
Yeah. So definitely watch it. I think you'd like it.
Yeah. I plan on it.
You watched the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch it on a plane. The ideal way to watch a good movie. Way.
On a screen like this big.
Yeah. So then I'll do the same thing with this movie on a screen like this big.
And then I watched the Murderville Christmas special.
Dude, I forgot about that.
You can still watch it. It's still on Netflix.
I can't.
It's over. Wait till next year.
It's over. Is it good?
They took it out. Yeah, it was really good. When you think that the episode couldn't get more ridiculous, it does. Three or four times.
Did you LOL?
I did laugh at a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, good.
And it's about, yeah. Have you watched that show at all?
Yeah, I watched all of it.
Okay, so just keep your expectations
at that level.
It's as good as that.
I don't know why, but I'm really rooting for this show to keep going.
Yeah, I was hopefully with enough Christmas special viewers, they'll get a second season, which I can only assume, because why would a canceled show get a Christmas special?
That's true. But I remember I forgot about it. I've only heard it from you. I haven't seen any trailers or anything. And they didn't promote it at all. It felt like.
I think I saw it on TikTok that it was coming out.
Yeah, which is strange. I think they're maybe just trying to capitalize on Wednesday too much.
I'll tell you, the fucking writers of that show are incredible. Because really, I never fucking guess who it is. And the answers are right in front of me, Nathan. I know. And I feel so fucking dumb every single episode. I've never guessed it right.
I've guessed it right one time, but when they... When they explain it, you're like, oh, I'm so fucking stupid. Of course.
Of course.
Of course that guy owns a boat or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good show because it's funny. There's improv and there's a mystery. Come on.
It's unpredictable.
It's awesome.
And I think my favorite part is just when people just break character. You know?
It's so funny, dude.
You're supposed to be dead. Stop smiling.
Dude, there's a scene in the Kumail Nanjiani one where he has to put something in a guy's mouth or take it out of a guy's mouth or something. Mm-hmm. And the guy that's dead is laughing while it's happening. While he's getting Kumail Nanjiani's fucking fingers in his mouth or nose or whatever it was. And I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, that shit's hilarious to me.
Yeah, really good.
What are we gonna read next week?
All right, Nathan, what are we reading next week?
I don't know. We've had it planned the last couple weeks, months, I feel like.
Well, so. It's gonna keep going because we got more plans.
What do we have planned?
Okay, I'm just kidding. I wanted to.
Nothing's coming out this next week, right?
Yeah, basically not.
Okay.
Nemesis is coming back. Nemesis Reloaded,
mm-hmm,
with Mark Miller and Jorge Jimenez.
Okay.
The only thing is you can't just get Nemesis.
Not on Comixology?
Not on Comixology. You can't buy it on Amazon conveniently.
All right. Well, we're not doing it.
Yeah. You could torrent it. I just happened to find a copy at Zia a couple months ago. So that's the only advantage. But.
Well, maybe we could do it. You just have to read it. And then I just have to get it from you. So that's the only way I don't want to torrent it.
Then it'll be hard to get the pictures for for the show.
And you're right.
Then only one of us would be able to look at it when we're actually doing the episode. So yeah. I'll just read it and tell you about it.
Okay.
So we are pretty much open season until February. So
okay. What were some of the things we talked about reading potentially?
Dan Mora's Power Rangers.
That would be sick. I'm actually down for that.
Let me look at it.
Also, Once in Future, perhaps, because you...
No.
Nope. Okay. Why are you so against this? You don't even know what it is.
Because I hate it.
I think he might... In some cases, he only does the cover.
Fuck. Yeah, because illustrated by Simone DiMeo. Okay. So that's not anyway, it.
We don't have to do this. We can figure out where starts.
As fun as it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
We did a DC book, and this is a Marvel book, so then we got to do an indie book.
Okay.
You want to do Judge Dredd?
I kind of want to do Layla Starr.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Let's see Judge Dredd. what a wild book.
I've been wanting to read Judge Dredd since I watched Judge Dredd.
No one's ever said that.
Let's do Judge Dredd. The Many Deaths of Layla Starr, Comixology Limited, Flip
Andrade.
Yeah, you got to roll the tongue.
Ooh.
Should we just do that?
I am down for that. Hold on. Let me see how many pages, just to make sure.
It's 124.
Let's do it. a lot of people really like this one.
Do we want to do anything else?
No, I want to read this.
Fucking fine.
Do you really want to read Judge Dredd so bad?
No, Judge Dredd. This is fine. Frank, I don't know.
Frank Miller?
Ooh. No, we'll do Lava Star.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Sounds good. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Happy New Year.
Thank you to the watchers more than the listeners.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. We like you better.
Yeah.
Especially if you subscribe.
But I also just listen to the podcast. I don't really watch it, so I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Because you can't. Do you ever
watch a podcast?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Especially if it's like an option.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just kind of, especially if there's a ton of people in it.
Sure.
Because I like don't know who's talking sometimes.
Okay, nice.
But anyway, we got a link tree. All of our stuff's in there. Go like, subscribe, follow. You can send us recommendations on what to read. We've got a kind of an open slate next couple weeks at tradewriterspot@gmail.com. I'm Daniel and you're Nathan. Goodbye.
Goodbye.